Hello, and welcome to show number 2506 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
I think that's really important to us, is that the community is the core of it. It's not about the team. We're just there to make sure that the site is serving the community's needs, really.
And the site we're talking about is one of my favorite, AppleViz.
AppleViz is a hub for visually impaired users of Apple products. We'll talk with David Nason and Scott Davert, members of the AppleViz editorial team, about the evolution of the platform, the resources available, the recent partnership with Be My Eyes, and the expansion to cover products outside the Apple ecosystem. But first, for our tip of the week. Well, we have two guests this week, so we have two equally practical tips. The first is from Scott Davert.
One of the things that I have found repeatedly over the years since its inception is on iOS, since we are AppleViz, the ability to do a one-finger triple tap, tap and hold. And this launches context menus throughout the operating system. And quite honestly, I don't know of any way to really discover what apps do and don't have context menus, but I can tell you there's a heck of a lot of them that do, and they offer you a lot of instant access to features. For example, if you do this on the Notes app from your home screen, you'll find the ability to instantly create a new note by double-tapping that option once you've activated the menu. Try it. Check it out on different apps. You'll be surprised some of the handy things that you'll find when you launch that menu.
And another useful idea from David Nason.
The tip I will mention is text replacement, which is a feature I think people may know about, but often even those who know about it forget about it. And I just find it such a useful tool on iOS, and it actually works on macOS as well. And this is where you can go to Settings, and then General, and then Keyboard, and then Text Replacement. And in there, you can set up shortcuts. So some of the ones I've used, I've borrowed from Braille. So like if I type TM and spacebar, it turns into the word tomorrow. Or if I type TN, it turns into tonight. But I use it for things like, instead of typing my email address, I just type GML, as in short for Gmail, press spacebar, and it turns into my full email address. Or you can use it for whole sentences. And another thing I find it really useful for is emojis. So I've set up a load of those. So if I type ESF, it turns into for emoji smiley face in my head. So then that turns into the smiling face. If I type ETU, it turns up into the emoji thumbs up. So I've used it for a lot of those emojis that I use on a regular basis. Rather than having to go into the emoji menu and find them, I just type ETU spacebar and I have a thumbs up emoji in my message. So I love that feature and use it every single day.
That is something that I have started making use of now that David just told us about it, and it is really handy, whether or not you can see.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting David and Scott.
Today we have two guests we're really excited to talk with today, and I thought we could start out by having you introduce yourself, Dave, and telling us who you are and what you do.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's really great to be here. My name is David Nason. I'm in Dublin in Ireland. In my day job, I am a accessibility manager on the customer experience team at a company called Sky. For US listeners, we're a subsidiary of Comcast, actually, a TV and broadband provider. So my job day to day is trying to make sure that our products and services are accessible to everybody. And on the side of that, I am, I guess why I'm here, is that I'm a member of the editorial team on appleviz.com as well, which is a website I'm sure we'll be talking about more detail later.
And I assume that you are visually impaired yourself?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I am. I have RP, so a progressive condition. I suppose I used to use magnification, and around 2009, 2010, I transitioned to using screen readers. So I use VoiceOver on iPhone and Mac, and I use JAWS and on Windows and dabble in Android. I try to dabble in everything, but my main work machine is Windows with JAWS, and outside of work, it's mainly VoiceOver.
And our second guest is Scott. Scott, tell us who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is Scott Davert, a member of the AppleViz editorial team. I appreciate you guys having us onto the podcast. I've been an off and on listener of Eyes on Success since before you guys moved to Colorado, if that tells you anything. A little bit about me. I am a lead research and training specialist with the Helen Keller National Center. They're based on Long Island in New York. I live in Michigan now, but still work for them. In that job, I do a lot of training of individuals who have both vision and hearing loss on all different kinds of technology. And I also do a lot of research and interacting with companies, you know, everything from the braille display manufacturers to screen reader manufacturers to companies like Google and Microsoft and Apple, who, of course, also are screen reader manufacturers as it happens now, but it wasn't always that way. So that's a little bit about what I do, which is different every day, thankfully.
And I gather you're well qualified to be training people on technology for both vision and hearing loss, because that describes yourself as well.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of what, for me, as a full-time Braille user, going from audio to Braille was quite a significant change, really. But one of the things I've really found when working with people is having that firsthand knowledge, being able to say, oh, yeah, this is what will happen when you activate this button in this app, or this is what will happen when you try to type in that text field before you turn browse mode to the correct setting, you know, those kinds of things. So it's really a passion of mine. I love technology. I love the ability to be more independent. But I also love spreading that knowledge and that wealth and trying to help others succeed.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is AppleViz. We have mentioned AppleViz as being a great resource many times over the 14 plus years that we've been running this show. But today, we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about what they do and why we think they're such a terrific resource.
Well, before we start out, I just wanted to say that AppleViz is one of the sites I go to nearly almost every day. The other one is Google, of course. But before we get into some of the details of what AppleViz is and how it got started, I thought maybe, David, you could give us the elevator 30-second summary of what AppleViz is.
AppleViz is a website for blind, low vision, and deafblind users of Apple products primarily. So it contains guides, it contains an app directory where you can find out about the accessibility of apps, podcasts, and it also contains, very crucially, a forum where you can chat to other users and help each other. So that's probably the quick summary of what the site is.
And I gather it is totally run by volunteers.
That was once true. Now we do have three members of the team who are in paid positions, and we have three volunteer members of the team. But that's only been the case for less than a year, about 6 months, actually. So since 2010, when the website started up, it has been volunteer run. Yeah.
Take us back and tell us how AppleViz got started. It's been around for quite a while.
Yeah. So we've, as Dave said, The site has been around since 2010. It was started by David Goodwin. I was one of the original editorial team members when David Goodwin decided to expand and started to look at producing blogs. And ultimately, we went into podcasts and other areas. We really have always been focused on the community, not only getting information to the community, but getting information from the community. When I joined as an Apple Viz editorial team member, I was one of the originals in 2011. And I had just started posting things like other community members had. And David had contacted me because he was interested in expanding to bring on editorial staff. So that's kind of where we got our start. And we've always been based in the community, and all of our content also being produced by volunteers. So it's really something that's grown out of just a desire to support and also give people a space to not only talk about their challenges, but also the strengths and like workarounds, things they found to really improve their experience when working with either the Apple devices themselves or the software that runs on it.
And I think because the iPhone only became accessible, and then therefore these new smartphones only became accessible in 2009, you know, so it was all really new when it started up in 2010. So it was such a valuable resource to have so early, I think, in the development of these devices is probably one of the key reasons it grew so much, because it was there from such an early point, and it was a really useful place that everybody could go with their new devices with glass that we didn't know how to use. So, yeah.
And these days, Apple Viz covers a lot more than just iPhones. Give us an idea of the kind of span of devices and software that Apple Viz does cover.
Yeah, we do all of the different Apple products, whether it is, of course, the iPhone and the iPad. Those are certainly the most two common, but we also have a wide range of knowledge and content available for those users of Mac OS, the operating system, of course, on Apple devices, Apple computers, I should say, as well as tvOS. And we don't really have a whole lot going on with Vision Pro yet, but pretty much anything else that is an Apple device, you know, we cover it in some way, shape, or form, including Watch. I think that was our first product where we started on launch day, where we had some support available and stuff like that back in 2015. So we do our very best to cover all things Apple and all those things associated with them.
And I think the software as well as the hardware is kind of what's really important as well. So we're kind of well known now for every year when the new software updates come out, generally around September, that Apple Viz is a go-to place to A, find out what's new and listen to our podcasts and guides, but also to talk to each other about our experiences with the new updates. So it is very much a software and hardware site.
The other thing that we do is bug tracking and beta testing. And we do this and we share this with the members of our community so that they're aware of certain bugs that we find. You know, so for example, when iOS 18 came out, there were some people that weren't really necessarily ready to upgrade. But thanks to not only the editorial staff, but certainly our user base as well, people can really hopefully make a well-informed decision on whether they want to upgrade their devices or not. And in the world of Apple, that's a crucial decision because going back from a software update isn't exactly the easiest thing to do.
That is not.
So I assume in order for you folks to be able to make intelligent comments on day one of either a software update or a hardware release, that Apple is actually cooperating with you and providing you advance releases of some of this stuff so that you can work with it ahead of time?
Largely, we're working within the kind of the developer and the early release program that just about anybody can access. So we've got, you know, I run a slightly broken iPhone for 3 months of the year in order to, and many others, you know, hundreds, thousands of people do this, that they, you know, beta test over the summer. And that's what a lot of the team are doing. I would focus myself mainly on iOS. Scott, I think, would as well. And Scott's focusing a lot on Braille, for example. And then we'd have Tyler, who would be really our Mac expert, and he'd be running the Mac OS all summer. We'd have some back and forth and in the background, and we've got, you know, our bug tracker. So Apple are kind of, it's certainly there for Apple to look at our bug tracker, but we wouldn't be kind of interacting on a day-to-day basis or anything like that, much as we'd love to.
The one other thing we offer are accessory reviews. We have a large amount of accessory reviews on the site as well. I myself focus most of my accessory review writing on Braille displays. It's kind of my small contribution to the community because I have access to a lot of these devices through my professional career. So we also have a lot of accessory reviews, and they're not limited to Braille displays. Things like headsets, Bluetooth keyboards. There's some Bluetooth speakers listed in there as well. So it's not only Apple devices themselves, but also things that can be used in conjunction with Apple devices.
And that could be very useful if people are considering buying a device to work with their other devices, to know how accessible it is and how well it works with some of these devices. So in the past year, you've also expanded to include software and hardware other than Apple. Can you talk a little bit about how that decision came to be and what it means?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest change we've made to Apple Viz in a long, long time, because it's, you know, it's in the name, it's Apple Viz. So to go into an area where we're allowing discussions of non-Apple products and things like Windows and Android, quite a big decision. And we didn't take it lightly. You know, we said it was a short-term test. We'd see how it goes. We'd see what the community thinks. And the community, on the whole, it wasn't universal, but on the whole, people seemed to want to keep it. It came about because there was so many blurred lines. People would go into a discussion about Mac and conversations about Windows would come up naturally. You'd be talking about iOS and conversations about Android would come up naturally. And Scott alluded to the accessories. So we get to say the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, are they an accessory that fits on the side? Or are they not an accessory that fits on the side? You know, are they Apple-y enough? And what we decided was it's easier just to have an area of the website. We keep it separate. It's not as front and center as the Apple stuff, but it is allowed to be there. So if you want to post about Windows or Android or other accessories that maybe aren't entirely Apple-y, you can have those conversations on appleviz.com, because ultimately this is a place that people in our community come to interact and to learn and to help each other. So was there something we could do to make that, you know, easier for people? And it's not as big as the Apple section of the website, certainly, but we do have some great conversations on there, and it's gone well, I think.
It does seem to be a nice addition, because after all, a lot of us do use different types of devices. And as you said at the beginning, you use both Windows and Mac computers and iOS devices. So I think that was a good addition. For people that prefer to get their content in an audio format, rather than reading a blog type system, you also have some very good podcasts that you do talking about some new features and all. Can you talk a little about that?
Thanks. Yeah, I think it's these days it's such an important thing to be there in the podcast world as well. Thomas Domville would be our king of podcasts, really, on the site. He does most of them. So when we come around to the new software updates, Thomas always has a big range of podcasts about all the new features and that kind of thing. And Tyler does, again, our Mac stuff. And I would chip in, Scott would chip in. We also do discussion podcasts, which are always great fun. So after an Apple event, such as WWDC in the summer or the iPhone event, we would get together and, you know, chat through what was announced and what we each think of it and that kind of thing. So I think it's important, though, also to mention the fact that it is, again, a community thing. So although there are those core podcasts produced by the team, and actually there's a monthly podcast produced by Thomas now as well called Apple Crunch, and that's a discussion kind of magazine, I suppose, podcast, but community members can submit podcasts. Anyone can do it. If you've an app that you really like and you want to showcase it or show people how to use it, or you have a quick tip about something in iOS or something in macOS that you want to educate the community about, you can create a podcast and submit it to us, and we'll be delighted to post it to the site.
I think really the great thing about podcasts is you've kind of already touched on it. Not everybody wants to read, okay? Not everybody wants to listen either. But I think a lot of the community response toward the podcast has been because there's really no mainstream repertoire out there that you can access to get demonstrations, for example. You know, when we look at the community, we're not only looking at what are people asking for, but how can we create resources that are going to be usable by the most people possible? And the only way to do that, of course, is through a multimedia approach like we have with podcasts, as well as all of our blog postings and everything else.
You talked a lot about the number of volunteers, and I know it's a big effort to keep this going, moderating the blogs, adding the content and all, and that became to be a big task. And that led to another big change this year. You want to talk about your new partnership with Be My Eyes and how that came to be?
We had a bit of a situation that came up over the summer with AppleViz, in that you may recall very early on in this podcast, I said David Goodwin pretty much ran the show. He did all the coding, all the development of the site, all the maintenance was done through him for 14 years, which is a long time. And he had some health issues that he ran into, and he decided it was time for him to retire from his upkeep of the site. And so we all, of course, were very concerned about David, but we were also concerned about the community and what that meant for AppleViz. If we now had to find people to code, we had to find a way to financially keep the site going, because the response from the community when we announced this was extremely overwhelming to me personally, in a good way. You know, it was very touching that AppleViz had touched so many people. And so we decided to look into Be My Eyes. They approached us, and they have taken on the financial aspect of AppleViz and have pretty much given us free rein as editorial staff and as the community itself to continue our community engagement. So thanks to Be My Eyes, here we are. And AppleViz continues to live on. And it's really something that I considered a huge relief, not only because I consider it a big resource, but I know many people in the various communities that we address feel the same way. So that's pretty much where it came from. And I dare say it's going quite well.
And in addition to having the financial backing of Be My Eyes to keep this going, there's now actually someone whose job it is to keep it going.
Yeah, and there's, I suppose, it's technical support from them as well, because David, although he kept telling us he's an amateur when it comes to tech, at the same time, he was the one keeping everything up and running and updated. He understood the back-end systems, which none of the rest of the editorial team had that knowledge or still have that knowledge. So we have that support from Be My Eyes with the tech aspect, and as well as that kind of financial piece as well. So we're so relieved when Be My Eyes came in and let us keep the site going, because, yeah, it would have been a huge loss. It really would.
And I am really grateful for the work you guys have done over the years, the resources you put together that I find very useful, as do many other people. And I applaud the effort you've all put into this. It's a great resource.
Well, thank you. And you know, you guys, of course, are a great resource as well. There's a lot of great content that you guys put together, and it's a very polished format that I appreciate. So, you know, we are just one piece of the puzzle. And I can only speak for myself when I say I'm glad to be a very small piece of that puzzle in the lives of others. You know, I really feel like that's kind of what life's all about.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about AppleViz, how to join, and how to contact them.
Well, for anybody who may not be familiar with AppleViz, although I'd be surprised if they didn't, Tell us what the website is and how they can connect with Apple Viz and become a member.
Sure. So the website address is www.appleviz.com. So that's APPLEVIS. And you can simply, in the menu at the top, you can find a login link. And in there, you can select register if you're not already signed up and join up. And it's, yeah, really simple and easy. You can also find us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Mastodon if you search for Apple Viz. I think we're still on Twitter X as well, if anyone else is still there. But yeah, so we're on all the socials as well.
And it's a very interactive forum. You can read other people's posts about products and software and also post your own questions or your own answers.
And I happen to know that you've done a lot of both of those.
I try. I find it useful both ways.
That's what it's all about. Our podcast as well can be found in, you know, an Apple Podcasts or any other podcast player that you happen to use. Just search for Apple Viz and you should find it.
We're everywhere. Well, we're not quite like Visa. I don't know that we're everywhere that everybody wants us to be, but we certainly do try our best, you know, and we're very engaged with the community and very open to feedback. Community members are welcome to contribute other types of content. Blog posts are now also a possibility. And again, appleviz.com is where you can find all the details about that. And I really feel, before closing, that it's important to express my appreciation not only to you guys, but to all of the community members who've done things over the years, you know, whether that be an app directory entry, making people aware of an accessibility issue. Maybe you found a really cool new app and you were the one who posted it, or you gave a lot of valuable content in terms of what the app does or something to inspire other people to use it. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who has taken the time to do that over the years. I don't know that I've ever had the opportunity to do that. So we continue to appreciate your contributions, and we look forward to many more as the years go along.
And that's part of what makes Apple Viz so effective in terms of communication, is that you accept input from a wide community that, because there's so many more people out there than just the editorial board, you can get lots and lots and lots of information.
And of course, you can find all of that information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2506, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about how you can stay fit with remote coaching. Just because you're visually impaired doesn't mean you can't stay fit and healthy. We'll talk with Evan Schwerbrock, founder of Kane and Able Fitness and certified as the world's strongest blind man, about his remote training approach, the importance of taking small steps in fitness, and his journey from vision loss to competing in adaptive strength events.
So if you're looking to get more fit, join us for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.